Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. What a beautiful couple of days it's been with all the snow we got yesterday and now today. Just looking outside my window, how beautiful it is. From what I understand, we got more snow than we've gotten in a long, long time in this area. I don't know about where you're from, where you live, but man, we got a bunch, and it's so pretty out there. I can't believe, though, that here it is two Sundays in a row that we haven't had church. Last weekend was that ice storm, and now this weekend with the snow, it's just amazing. But anyway, God knows, and I hope that you are safe and that you're staying safe and warm, and just enjoy it. Enjoy the beautiful sight. Well, welcome. Welcome to Faith Church, the Facebook Live edition. I feel like we're kind of back in the COVID days from a few years ago where we had Sunday services for quite a few weeks, it seemed like, online. But we're back again. Hopefully next Sunday, the weather will cooperate and we'll get back together live in person. All right. Hey, let's open up in prayer and let's begin our time here this morning. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day and for the beautiful weather that you've enjoyed, helped us to enjoy here in our community. I pray, Father, that you be with us now as we're huddled around the campfire of your word and that we would be warmed by it. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this time together, and we thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us through your word. We love you, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so if you're viewing, please feel free to give me a thumbs up, a greeting some way, somehow. Feel free to communicate with one another, make comments as we're going through this time here today. But I want to, as we're beginning here this morning, I want to ask you a question. I want you to imagine something. Imagine that you owe $1 trillion. Now, to put that in perspective, $1 trillion, if you tried to pay off $1 trillion at $1 for every second that the clock ticks, so $60 a minute, basically, it would take you 32,000 years to pay off $1 trillion at that rate. In other words, it's an impossible task. You could not pay it off in your lifetime. Now, I want you to also imagine that while you're standing before that person that you were that you owed that money to, that you were forgiven that debt, completely gone. You owe it no more. You're debt free. Your slate is wiped clean. Now, I would imagine, just when you think about the sheer amount of money that is, what a relief that would be. What an unbelievable gift that is, and what mercy that you were shown. So now I want you to also imagine with me that you take that experience, and right out of that experience, you go out into the streets and you head to a guy who owes you $100, and you insist that he pays you on the spot. He doesn't have that money, he's broke, and so he begs you for mercy, and he begs you for time, but you show no mercy, and instead you have him thrown into jail immediately as a punishment. I want to ask you, what sort of person would do that? I don't think that would be you or me. I don't know. Would we? I don't know. Let's read a parable that Jesus told us, and you probably would. This is probably familiar to you, but for some of you, maybe not. But it's found in Matthew chapter 18. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to start in verse 23 and read through verse 35. Here it goes. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven, this is actually Jesus speaking, telling a story, a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. That's like $1 trillion in our day and age. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all they had to be sold to repay the debt. At this time, the servant fell on his knees before him and said, be patient with me. He begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But the man refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant back in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then Jesus pivoted by wrapping this up by saying, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Now, the title of my devotional here today is "You Owe Me." Now, as Jesus told this parable, you think, wow, that's a pretty serious sort of story, and really the results of it, the results of the actions of it. It's pretty serious. It's pretty sobering. But what prompted this parable? Why did Jesus tell it? Well, it was because Peter had asked Jesus a question. And if you back up a few verses in Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, I'm going to read you this question that Peter asked. It says, "Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'No, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven times.'" So Jesus kind of takes the whole concept of forgiveness and turns it completely on its head. Peter actually was coming up to Jesus thinking that he was being pretty generous. He said, "You know, if someone does me wrong, should I forgive him seven times?" And when you think about it, in Peter's mind, that was a lot. But Jesus responded with an amazing total. He said, "No, 70 times seven." And in other words, what Jesus was saying was, have unlimited grace. He said that there should be no limit to your ability, desire, and activity of forgiving people, no matter what. So let's flip this real quick. Okay, so let's listen to this. What if Jesus only forgave you, say, seven times for a particular sin or offense? Let's use this as an example. So seven is the limit, okay? So say you lie in your life seven times. And each time of those seven times you lie, you ask for forgiveness. Jesus says, "You're forgiven." Then you lie an eighth time. And when you lie, Jesus says, "Nope, you've reached your limit. Just seven times. This is your eighth lie. No, I'm not going to forgive you anymore." Or how about this? You lust seven times, or you steal seven times, or you cheat seven times, or whatever trespasses you commit. You do each of them seven times in your life, and each time up to those seven times, you're forgiven. And then rolls around number eight, and whatever it is that you do, and you're toast. That's it. There's no forgiveness for you at all. Aren't you thankful? And that sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? But aren't you thankful that Jesus is not that way towards us? He doesn't have a limit to his forgiveness. We know that. But yet, let me then ask you, as I'm asking me, what about us? Now, I'm not sure we even give people seven chances, do we? I think many times it's a one and out sort of event. When people offend us or do something against us, we just say, "You know, you hurt me, you betrayed me, you've brought pain to my life, and now you're dead to me. There's no mercy, no grace, no forgiveness." And it's really weird that it's that impossible $1 trillion sin debt in our life has been forgiven by Jesus. Think about that. And yet we go around holding these little piddling offensive accounts and demand payment from others right away. And honestly, that's pretty arrogant, and that's pretty sad. And really, that's completely opposite of what Jesus teaches us and models for us. You may say, "Well, Pastor, I don't hold grudges. I forgive. I got a handle on this. I'm good." Well, okay, good for you. But let me ask you this. Do you have some bad attitudes towards others? Do you say hateful words, either to others or about others? Do you have hateful actions towards others? See, because what those are Those are telltale signs of an unforgiving heart. Luke 6, 45 says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So it just bubbles up and it comes out. Now, I know that there's a lot of times that I found myself saying and thinking and doing things that reveal my heart, and I'm not proud of it. I don't like what I see in those times. My mouth is speaking out, my attitudes and my actions are speaking out what my heart is full of. I'm actually, though, thankful for those times that happens in my life, because what it does is it reveals what's going on in my heart that I don't need to ignore them, and I don't need to sweep them under the rug, but I really need to severely and diligently deal with them and, you know, remove them out of my heart and change. I don't know. That's me. How about you? Are you the same way? If we were truthful, if every one of us were truthful, every single one of us would say amen to this. Listen, there's a lot of out in this world right now, it seems lately, there's a lot of hateful rhetoric and a lot of harsh words out there, whether it be on social media with someone far away that you don't even know hardly, or towards that person that you live with or work with or see every day of your life. We don't need to be part of that hateful rhetoric. We don't need to be part of those harsh words. We're in the world, but not of it. So if we're to live, here it is, church, listen to me. If we're to live as representatives, and if we're to live as a contributing citizen to God's kingdom, we need to be careful not to fall into the trap of unforgiveness, which the Bible calls acts of the flesh. I want you to listen to this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. There's a section in Galatians that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And we all know pretty much about what the fruit of the Spirit are. And we focus on those things like, okay, cool. Yeah, I want to do that. But just before that list is this list. And it's found in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Listen to this. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's quite a list. And then he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, again, this is quite a list. And what we may do is, for a lot of us as Christians, we may look at that and go, well, I don't do those things, because we kind of point out some of the stuff, maybe there's something on that list that's not, you know, that we would never touch, like witchcraft and, I don't know, sexual immorality and drunkenness, orgies. Whatever that in the list that there may be, you just go, that doesn't apply to me. Because a lot of times we'll focus on one word or two over the other. But in that list, there's some interesting things that are tucked away in there. Let me extract those things, some of those in there that's on that list and that speaks about unforgiveness and things like that. So listen to this. There's hatred. There's discord, there's fits of rage, there's dissensions, and there's factions. See, all of those, and many times, those that I just listed, those five things there, are an outflowing of an unforgiving heart. Have you ever thought about that? So if you find yourself hating someone, I just hate them, I just can't stand them, or discord, where there's just this fighting and, you know, kind of just not, it's not of one accord, it's discord, it's separate, it's dysfunctional. Fits of rage, where you just burst out, like, you know, you're constantly on edge and attacking. The dissensions and factions, all these different divisions and things like that. All these are maybe potentially out of an unforgiving heart. So what's the remedy? Well, the remedy is the next couple of 2-3 verses. And in fact, it uses the word but in Galatians 5:22. So we've had the acts of the flesh and all those awful things. And now we have but the fruit of the Spirit is. So the acts of the flesh, you have this acts of the flesh, that's us. That's what we were born in. But the fruit of the Spirit, well, that's a totally different thing. And the fruit of the Spirit are a very familiar list. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. It says, now listen to this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. In other words, we've crucified the acts of the flesh, what we just read about, with its passions, with its desires of, for example, the hatred, the discord, the fits of rage, all those things that we give into, that we just act out because we're not really crucifying those things. Since we live by the Spirit, it says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So as Christians, we should be living by the Spirit. That's a privilege. That's an opportunity that we have as Christians, not just to say we're Christians, but to actually yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to flow through us these things. I love this list in Galatians chapter 5 of the fruit of the Spirit. I love it, and at the same time, I'm frustrated with it. It's kind of hand in hand because there's certain ways I want to be like this list, but at the same time, I don't really succeed in being them as often as I would like to. So I don't like it when my fruit is hatefulness and unforgiveness towards others. I don't want that to be the fruit of my life. My goal is to walk really in more love and forgiveness. So how about you? Real quick, I just want to point out, there's eight fruit here, but I want to, or is it nine? I think it's nine. There's nine fruit here. But I want to point out three to you that I think would be a good thing for us to focus on. Certainly love, and this kind of covers it all. The Bible says the greatest of these is love. So, I mean, love kind of covers it over, but I want to pull three of them out that are beyond that, that are more specific. So the first one is this. Patience. Patience. As far as forgiveness is concerned, I think if we back up and we allow the Holy Spirit to really fill us daily with patience and kindness and gentleness, we would go a long way in a better direction of not being so hateful, of not being so short with people, so angry, so mean to others in our words, in our attitudes, and in our actions. So let's talk about patience first. Patience. Are you as patient? Here, let me ask you this, kind of just to real quick put it in perspective. Are you as patient with that person that gets under your skin, that you just can't stand, as you would like them to be as patient with you? In other words, are you as patient with others as you would hope that others would be patient with you? It's really funny how we can easily excuse ourselves, our actions, our attitudes, our thoughts, our motivations. We excuse that because we know us, but we blast and judge others just immediately. But patience is so needed in our life, and it's needed in those times of those when we get around people that just absolutely that we can't stand. Patience is going to help us to rein in our words and help us to rein in our actions. It'll keep us from doing or saying things that we regret. But more than that, if we're simply just think about this, okay, it's just God, give me patience. All right, Holy Spirit, give me patience. Well, let's just not push down those thoughts and those attitudes, and you know, eventually they're going to burst out somewhere. Our heart really still needs some work. So, with patience, we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with kindness. Kindness. Now, if your default is mean and hateful, just kind of as like a trigger. If you're just triggered and you're just mean and hateful to that person or to those people, then invite the Holy Spirit to implant kindness in your heart. Just stop being so mean and treat that person like you want to be treated. Be kind. See them like Jesus sees them. There's enough hatefulness out there. How about, because we don't need more hatefulness. What we do need more of is more kindness. Don't you think? I mean, I hope that you agree with that. And the Holy Spirit can help you if you'll just ask Him. So patience and kindness. And then that kindness and that patience will produce a gentleness, which is the other thing that I want us to focus on, that I really want us to pray about. It's going to produce a gentleness in you towards others. It'll take that snap out of your voice. It'll take that snap out of your actions. And it'll replace it with a tenderness and a care that is so desperately needed towards the recipient of that one that you're interacting with. The Holy Spirit can help you to be more gentle and to be less harsh. So how about it? Patience and kindness and gentleness, how about it? Let's work on these three. I know I need to work on those three. I hope that, and I just pray that this is speaking to your heart. Let me just land this plane here and we'll wrap this thing up here in just a few moments. We'll pray together. You know, this may be someone from your past that you need to forgive. They're not alive anymore. You don't know where they are. They kind of passed through your life, or they were, you know, a relative of yours. I don't know, but someone from your past that you need to forgive. There's that bitterness that spills over into your relationship that you have today, to the attitude that you have today. Someone from the past that you need to forgive. I don't know. So let it go and forgive. Just forgive as you've been forgiven. You've got that $1 trillion sin debt that's been forgiven. Let that debt go. It may be someone that's far away. Maybe they're still alive, but they're living in another state or another country or somewhere. You had an interaction with them some years ago and they offended you in some way. You don't see them, but that unforgiveness is still there. You've never dealt with it, and it's poisoning your attitudes and all of your interactions today with other people. Let it go. Forgive. Just forgive them. What good is it doing for you to hold on to that? Hey, it may be the person that's sitting right next to you right now as you're viewing this video, as you're viewing this time together. I don't know. That this one is probably especially difficult because, I mean, you have to live with them every day. You have to see them all the time. You have to be with them, you know, work with them, live with them, go to school with them. I don't know. But it's especially difficult as it may be. It's also a great opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to do a great work of healing and restoration in your heart as you're taking the opportunity that the Lord gives you to just daily work on that forgiveness muscle and that kindness and gentleness and patience muscle that you absolutely desperately need. Whatever it is that frustrates you and that's making you hateful and mean and exploding, or even actually neglecting the other person, or having just, you know, just an awful, I don't know, attitude towards them. Today, listen to me, today is a great day to invite the Holy Spirit to work in you his fruit of patience and kindness and gentleness, all blanketed together by the love of Jesus. That person hurt you. Okay, I get it. But I hate to break this to you, but you've hurt others too. And so have I. And you hope and expect others to forgive you, don't you? I mean, isn't it nice to be forgiven? So then forgive. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Jesus has forgiven you. So you go and forgive others. And don't just do it 7 times. In other words, don't just do it just a few times, but do it 70 times 7 every single day. In other words, continually, unlimited grace, unlimited forgiveness. Stop holding onto the debt of hurt and pain and betrayal or whatever it is. You've been forgiven so very much by Jesus, have you not? I know I have. It's a debt that you can never repay. So who are we? Who are we to hold on to such a small offense against others? Today is a great day to do this, and I would like to pray with you as we wrap this up. So let's pray. Lord, you've given us plenty of opportunity to walk in love and forgiveness, and we've failed probably more times than we've succeeded in that. But Lord, keep giving us those opportunities. That person that is in our distant past, that's not with us anymore, that person that maybe is still alive but is in another state or somewhere, or that person that's sitting right next to us right now. Lord, there's just some anger that's there. There's some unforgiveness. There's some bitterness. There's some stuff that's just built up. And Lord, I pray that you just help us right now to have the courage to give it over to you, all that bitterness and unforgiveness, and that we would, from our hearts, forgive. Lord, that we would have that attitude of that man who was forgiven $1 trillion in debt and turned around and tried to get $100 from somebody else immediately. Lord, forgive us for that. You've forgiven us more than we can ever imagine. It's a sin. It's a debt we couldn't pay. It's our sin debt. And yet you paid it for us. You've forgiven us. thank you for that. Help us to take that same attitude and that approach and to slather on a ton of grace, a ton of patience, a ton of kindness, and a ton of gentleness. Overarching, let it be the love of Christ that flows through us. Lord, our religion means nothing if we can't walk out our life as an ambassador, as a representative of your kingdom in that way. Oh, God, help us. Forgive us if we've acted up in such a way where we've been a poor witness to you, not just to others outside of the four walls, but in the church, in our families, in our homes. For those of us who profess to be Christians, and yet we just blast people, and we're just so ugly. Lord, forgive us and help us to walk in forgiveness towards others and to walk in the fruit of your Spirit. I pray, God, that you'd help us to really, Holy Spirit, to work on these things, to give you access and permission to replace that works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let it begin in me, and let it be with all of us to do this same thing. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, amen. Well, praise God. Listen, stay safe out there, and just enjoy the beautiful day. But if you can, try to stay indoors and don't do anything that's going to put you on the 6 o'clock news. Hey, listen, too, thank you for your continued giving of your tithes and offerings. There's different ways that you can give. A couple of Sundays of no offerings, and the bills still keep coming. So thank you for your faithfulness with that. You can go online to our website and pay your tithes online. You can mail your tithes to the church. You can drop it off if the roads are nice later on this week. But thank you for your continued faithfulness with that. And if there's anything that we can do for you, we're a phone call away. Hey, respond to this. Make some comment to it. If you enjoyed this, thumbs up, heart, emojis, whatever you want to do, let me know you're there. What a privilege it is to be your pastor. I'm so sorry that we couldn't be together again this Sunday, but Lord willing, and the creek don't rise literally and figuratively, we'll get together again next Sunday and enjoy some good times together in God's presence. Meantime, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with his fruit, and especially patience and kindness and gentleness towards that person you're sitting next to or towards that person far away and everybody in between. Let that be something that you give him access to your heart, and let him work on. And let's do better with these. I know I need it. And I hope this helped you as well. All right, God bless you. And we'll see you next Sunday. Have a blessed week in the Lord, and stay safe again. Bye-bye.